Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Is January Jones. She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with world high stakes golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And I'm January Jones, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast today. As you know, my new brand is the Glitter Granny. We all wear many hats in life, and as we go through life, we change our hats often. Today, I'm wearing my silver interview hat. The nice thing about hats is you don't have to muss with your hair. Now, for my listeners, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in an abusive relationship? Tell me, do you even know what a really, really abusive relationship is? Have you ever met someone who has experienced a relationship with a narcissistic person? I haven't, but we're going to today. Can you imagine what it would be like to be abused? How horrible it would be. Now, would you like to meet someone who will share her own experience of living with a narcissist and surviving? Not only surviving, she's thriving. Tell me, have you ever heard of a famous book entitled The Courage to Say No? Or another amazing new book called Narctionary? And I just love saying that word. If you can answer yes or maybe to any of the questions I've asked you, then you are in the right place. And welcome to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So now it's time, relax. Go get some wine, get some cheese and crackers, and join us in the no wine zone. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She has 30 years experience in abuse recovery, beginning with her own traumatic journey. She gives voice to crazy making behaviors that imprison people in the cycle of narcissistic abuse. Her WIN Foundation and Reclaiming Me program leads to the only cure for narcissistic abuse trauma, and that is self-love. My guest says self-love is non-negotiable. And I'd like to welcome to the show today, Tracy Krimble. Hi, Tracy.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on the show. And before we went on the air, we discovered that we share a mutual, we both were from the Thousand Oaks area. And small world. And I even know where Tracy played tennis and all, where she went to high school. It's so good to have you. Tracy, let me ask you before we begin the podcast, how did the pandemic affect your career?
Well, I think that it it makes you think, which is, I think, such a healthy thing in life to experience. It makes you think outside the box. One of the best things that came from it is our recovery program was always based in a walk-in basis, and the pandemic forced us to go into online classrooms, and we have been able to reach so many more women throughout not just the USA but globally who can now participate in recovery from the privacy of their own home or their own phone. So it expanded us in many ways. And I think the biggest challenge was all of us having to get used to losing that one-to-one contact, that hands-on contact. But I think that you know, you're an example that you can break, you can still have intimacy and closeness even if there's a screen between us. And that's the one thing that I learned, that it was possible to continue that intimate feeling of healing even though we're in an online classroom.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, I call it the pandemic pause. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people have found, even though it was awful when it began, along the way, more options became available. And people, the way they are adaptable, they adjusted, they made changes, take a deep breath and carry on, which is how you get through anything in life. Now, you've been in the recovery world for almost 30 years. It's hard to believe you look so young, but... Now tell, how did your journey begin? How did you get into this profession?
I entered this journey and I found myself living in highly narcissistic relationships because as a child, I was raised in an environment where there was narcissism. And so the personality trait of a narcissist was normalized to me. So because it was normalized, it took it getting to extreme levels of dysfunction for me to admit this is a very painful environment.
So I think like a lot of people, you were drawn to something that was familiar and that would probably have made you feel comfortable in the beginning. Okay, let's talk again about your book, The Courage to Say No. That's an incredibly wonderful, inviting title. How did that come about?
So my road to recovery began began when I found myself in my mid-20s marrying somebody who became a completely different person after we were married, to the point that they were threatening my life, et cetera, et cetera. And so I had to literally run for my life and go into hiding. And the book is called The Courage to Say No More. And so what happened to me is that as I untangled myself from that, from all the trauma that happened, and as I said, that was like an inferno of abuse. Because I was raised with a low heat under my whole life, it took extreme situations for me to recognize that I was in trouble. So when I left that, I did the classic forms of healing when you're coming out of a covertly abusive relationship. Fast forward my life, because narcissism and the personality of narcissism was at a base level for me, I could not recognize when this personality would re-enter my life. And especially at the time, January, that narcissism, narcissistic abuse trauma, narcissistic abuse, it didn't have a name.
No.
You know, they were called a jerk or dysfunctional or no, they're really not that way. So I found myself for many, many years living in highly narcissistic, painful relationships without thinking there was something wrong with me, sending myself into anxiety and depression and self-doubt and all those different things. And it wasn't until one day I walked into a therapy office. Therapist says, you know, why are you here? And my response is, because my brain feels like it's made of mush and I feel invisible. And that was the only way that I could describe where I was. Okay. And it took some time, but I got very lucky, and I found somebody who was on the front end of this. And after several, like almost a month or so, she said, I think you might be suffering from abuse with a narcissist. And I'm like, what is that? And that's the game changer for me, is that the ghost became the name. So the Courage to Say No More was my phase one and the first part of my healing, from healing very traumatic abuse. And then the second part of my recovery came in really specializing in this thing called narcissistic abuse.
That's an amazing introduction to our podcast. Right now, we're going to take a break. And if you are a whiner or you know someone who whines, this is the book for you.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
I wanted to mention that all of my books are now at audible.com. And we're back with Tracy Kremble, who is not a whiner because she is a winner. Tracy, before we go on, could you share with our listeners your contact information and where they can get your books and your website?
Oh, thank you very much. My book is called Narctionary, my most recent book. It's available on Amazon.com, and you spell it like dictionary, only with narcissionary.
Very clever.
My website is drtracy.tv.
Okay, good. Wonderful. And abusive narcissist, this is was a new term for you, and it certainly is a new term for me and probably for a lot of our listeners. And I'm sure some people are listening to you, and I'm sure some people are identifying with what you're having to say. Your second book, Narctionary, which I love the title. I love saying it.
Thank you.
Tell us about what prompted you to write that book after your second book.
Well, fast forward many years, and I went from being a victim of abuse to becoming an expert in I became an expert in accepting abuse for many years, but when I became an expert in recovery, that was a game changer. And I run a recovery program. It's called Reclaiming Me. It's been going on for 20 years now. We meet twice a week in my Zoom rooms. And what happened was I had a newbie contact me, and of course she was on the floor with the devastation. The person that she was with, her narcissist up and left her, put her out like a piece of trash. And I said to her, that's called the discard. And she said, what's the discard? And I said, it's what the narcissist does, blah 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 blah. And she said, yeah, but I don't understand this, because they would do something wrong and then they would apologize, but it would never heal me, and nothing ever changed. I said, well, that's called a faux apology. And she's like, what's a faux apology? I said, a faux apology is the false apology of the narcissist. And she's like, oh my gosh. And then, but I'm just feeling so mushy in my brain, and am I crazy? And because, you know, we would talk about things and nothing would ever get resolved. And I said, well, that's probably because they're speaking in word salad. And she's like, what's a word salad? And I said, a word salad is when the narcissist will put so many words into the conversation that you literally don't remember your reference point and what you're trying to accomplish. Wow. And so we kept having this conversation, and she said to me, you know, you should really write a book that all these terms are there so that we newbies can just pick it up and understand, you know, rather than diving deep into therapy, that we can just have a quick reference. And what I did is I literally opened up my phone, and I had this file that I kept for myself for years, and right. I had already alphabetized it, and I said, I can do that. So I sat down, I just started to put it together. I included a self-assessment test in there because, you know, so many times we're like, does this happen to me? How much does it happen? And when you can check it off.
Wow, did you, I mean, who would think you'd ever be able to write a dictionary book? I know how hard it is to write just a regular book, but I'm sure doing a dictionary book, what research, you know, one of the words that I like that I had never heard in regards to this type of recovery was the word aftershock.
Yes, and it's real.
That's powerful. Now, what is, explain to our listeners about aftershock.
So aftershock is a setback in your recovery. It's when you've been along your recovery journey and you feel like you're doing really, really well. And it could be a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. And all of a sudden something will happen and you find yourself really slipping back or being re-traumatized in ways that you think, oh my gosh, wait a minute, I've done my work in this area. Why am I slipping back? Why am I getting so leveled by this? And that's why it's called aftershock, because it's post-abuse, partly post-recovery, that all of a sudden something just goes in there and throws you for a loop. And the term comes from actual earthquakes, where we have the original earthquake that causes all the damage. Mm-hmm. And then when the earthquake is over, you have all these aftershocks that still traumatize and shake you up. So that's where the word comes from, and it's real in recovery.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing to talk about, because I know so many people think, oh, you know, I left, I got rid of him, now it's over. But I think as long as you are in contact with this person, they have the ability to still weave their, I don't want to say magic, but weave their spell.
Manipulations, yes.
Yeah, it's very manipulative.
It's true that they say that the most effective way to heal from narcissistic trauma is what's called no contact.
Yeah.
And no contact. That is exactly what it sounds like. It's no contact. That's not always realistic for people. And if you find yourself, for example, if this is a parent that you want to somehow remain in relationship with, if this is the parent of your child, if you're co-parenting together, being completely away from that person is nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, you know, there is contact, but it will, if you don't have what I call your emotional fire suit on, you can easily get burned by them again.
Wow. Just out of curiosity, because when I was through my life, I've always heard the term when people were acting not quite right, we would hear the term bipolar. Are narcissists, do they tend to be bipolar?
That's a really good question, and I'll tell you why. You hear the term narcissist thrown around a lot lately, and you hear sociopath, psychopath, and there are definitely degrees of narcissism. It's not just a clear, you know, one, black or white. It's a spectrum disorder. So it's not like pregnancy. You're just a little bit narcissistic. It's a spectrum disorder, and so it can go from healthy narcissism right here on up the scale to narcissistic characteristics, to narcissistic personality disorder, to antisocial personality disorder, which is sociopath, psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
So along that, many times people in the past would probably call a narcissist a bipolar. Narcissists can tend to present themselves as bipolar because their personality goes from 0 to 100 in a second. And so they're in a benign state. They don't get their way with something, and their personality can do this. This doesn't make them bipolar. This makes them manipulative.
Manipulative, yeah.
Bipolar is, you know, we all have this line that emotionally that we run in, and what happens with bipolars is that it can be a slow grades up and then a big crash.
Yeah.
Narcissists are like this to gain control and to keep people just disheveled.
Yeah, and it seems like narcissists have a plan, where I think sometimes bipolar people are actually victims of their own disease. And yeah, and I think of, now that I'm talking to you, I think of a narcissist as premeditated. I told you my favorite word, aftershock, in your book. What is your favorite word?
Oh my goodness, there's so many, but I think that the one that I appreciated the most along my recovery journey, and it's called poop in your soup. And what it represents is how toxic narcissistic abuse is.
Mm-hmm.
And so narcissistic abuse is like having poop in your soup, and no amount of poop in your soup is ever okay. And it was a reminder to me to understand that you cannot, Tracy Kemble, you cannot allow yourself to even tolerate a drop of it if you're going to get well. It is toxic and it will make you sick. And so that one I laugh at, I was able to laugh, and it's always so good when you can reach points of moments of your healing when you're able to just shake your head and find the humor or something, or the extremity of it that doesn't level you. And that one was kind of a wake-up call to me, where I'm like, Tracy, why is it okay for you to dabble with a little poop in your soup? If somebody offered to serve you that in life, you would be like, absolutely no way. And that's a boundary that I needed to learn with myself, is no is no, and I am not interested, and you can't convince me to accept more than nothing, you know?
Yeah, very good. Right now, we're going to take a break. And, you know, it's been 60 years since the assassination of John Kennedy. And this book is a theory about who might have killed Kennedy.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and Audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
We're back with Dr. Tracy Kemble, and believe me, if you want to read about some narcissists, go read my Kennedy books. There's quite a few of them in there. Tracy, tell me, are people born with narcissism, or is it something they're taught, or how does this come about in their life?
We are not born with narcissism, to answer your question. Narcissists are created. They are created from a trauma basis. They're normally created by another narcissist. And, you know, we come into this existence as a blank canvas. And it is the environment that we're exposed to when we are young that paints who we are. Becoming a narcissist is a child who goes into survival mode. And the interesting thing about it is that, you know, when many people think of a narcissist, they think of somebody who's very full of themselves. Mm-hmm. And though there are different types of narcissists, for example, the cerebral narcissist or the covert narcissist, et cetera, that actually beneath the shield, this ego present, false facade, of a narcissist, that you're actually dealing with a very traumatized person. And can narcissism be cured? Well, technically I would like to say yes. However, in order for somebody to be able to heal from narcissism, it's no different than healing from any type of an addiction, where you have to have that coming to reality moment where you say, I have a problem. I have a problem, and my problem is killing me and other people. And because of the dynamics of narcissism, which is a personality that will not admit that they're wrong in anything, because it's stressful for them, they're stuck in the cycle of living behind that false facade and executing their maneuvers that they need to protect that broken self as well as continue to fuel their ego.
Okay. Now, earlier you used a term I hadn't heard before. You talked about healthy narcissists, nice narcissists. Describe someone like that.
Well, we all need, those are two different things, so I'll differentiate them. Healthy narcissism is, it belongs right here in front of us, and we all need it. And healthy narcissism, what allows us to keep the good in and push the bad out. That sense of self-value that says, hey, you know, not with me, that I will not allow that happen. That's healthy narcissism.
Okay.
Unhealthy, or a nice narcissist, I happen to know this very, very, very nice narcissist. He is no one that would lash out and hurt someone, but he is somebody who all conversations lead back to self. You could say, I went to the store today, and they'll say, I went to the store today, and I found this, and I got this, and that. My child just did really well in school. My child did really well in school, and I remember when I was young, and I did well in school. So I think that those are the nice narcissists. Like, the common thing about a narcissist is that they usurp the room, and they suck the oxygen out of the room, where there's just no space for other people in the conversation.
We've all met people like that, and that term suck the energy out of the room really resonates with me through my 80 years of my life. That I can relate to that one. So when you were talking about the nice narcissist, it sounds they're kind of like people who are just extremely friendly and want to be, as you said, have every conversation get back to them.
Well, the goal of a narcissist, imagine that a person with narcissism is like the way I describe it, they're like a cell phone battery, that if they don't constantly get fuel or charge, they feel like they will disappear. They really feel like invisible people. And so that's why they have to talk about themselves. It's a way of them saying, I'm visible, I'm visible, I'm visible, I'm visible. Did you see me? Because I need to be visible. Now, when somebody starts to go into being a dangerous type of a narcissist is when they will hurt other people. They don't have empathy. So, the reason it's called a faux-pology is if somebody harms another person, and on our journey we will do some things that will hurt another person. Those of us who don't have narcissism will say, oh my God, I hurt another person. Oh my gosh. Or when we're trying to justify our actions, we know deep inside of ourselves, this is your ego talking, you know, and we're able to come to those clarity moments and then begin to get back on our track. Well, a narcissist doesn't have that. When a narcissist apologizes, they'll say, first off, they don't care how the other person feels. They don't care if they hurt another person. They care if they're discovered. They don't want that.
Yeah.
But their only goal is to get fuel from other people, reaction from other people, praise from other people, or if they're bullies, tears and anger from other people.
Oh, so they enjoy doing, oh, wow. They enjoy, as you're saying that, people are flashing through my brain. And I'm identifying different people that I wouldn't have called a narcissist, but now that I think about it, they most probably were.
It's important to note that all of us can walk off the straight and narrow line and have a moment when we behave narcissistically. Those of us who don't have narcissism, I would say that our ego gets in our way. Uh-huh. And we go like, oh, I don't want to be that person, you know, like, oh, that was ugly of me. So we can all like dabble in it, but somebody who actually has the high narcissistic characteristics or narcissistic personality disorder, they are somebody whose baseline personality is firing like this the majority of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, talk about dictionary, narcissionary. You're doing quite a job here on this podcast. I'm learning so much from you. Does a person have to leave a relationship? If you're in a relationship with a narcissist, I mean, I'm sure it would help to leave, but as you said earlier, what do you do when you can't leave? If it's a family member that, you know, you need to continue a relationship for the sake of your children?
Well, that was one of the frustrating things for me for a long time is that the advice that I was given, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, yeah. The advice that I was given was, you need to leave, you need to leave, you need to leave. Well, I wasn't in the financial position to leave. Mm-hmm. I was annihilated as a sense of self, so I didn't have the self-esteem to leave.
Right.
So how I have set up my company our outreach, our recovery program, is it is none of our business if you choose to stay or leave. It is none of our business. What matters is that we have to get certain tools and healing into your soul so that if you choose to stay or you're in a situation where no contact is not an option, my module has six different modules. My recovery program has six different modules to it, and one of the modules is when no contact is not an option, living with a narcissist.
Yeah.
And I think that that's more reality-based, and our whole goal is not to tell a person to leave or stay. Of course, if you're away from any type of trauma, you're going to heal faster, but there are still ways, as I word it, to hold on to yourself when you're with a narcissist, and that's one of the goals of healing, is to hold on to self, to not let them usurp you and you know, mind snatch you and body snatch you and identity snatch you and all these things that they do for...
Well, you're saying they need to learn how to protect themselves and...
protect themselves and to hold on to themselves, because we get in the habit of sacrificing ourselves for the narcissist, and at the end of the day, we're actually sacrificing ourselves to maintain our peace. So there's ways to hold on to yourself without engaging in the narcissist. And if you're in a relationship and not in the position to leave, then that's what you need to do. You need to have your own survival skills and protection skills and fire suit that I mentioned earlier if you're going to stay with the flame.
Right. Well, right now we're going to take a break. And I've written two books about people who definitely are not narcissists. They are all priceless personalities.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have struggled to find solutions? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have not only informed you, but inspired you? People who have priceless personalities? I have been fortunate to host an internet radio talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories. And it has been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. My guests have shared their stories, their struggles, their secrets, and their successes in their own words. In this book, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, runaway kids, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, and starting over. Then there are my guests dealing with difficult physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects that are beyond traumatic. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They have amazed, amused, and even astonished me. I have adored getting to meet them, and I adore sharing them with you.
Attention all listeners. Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, Volume 2 is now available at Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle editions. You'll be able to meet 10 amazing people who will be sharing their own personal stories with all their struggles, successes, and solutions, sprinkled with lots of humor and hope. Priceless Personalities features a teenager who becomes one of the famous Supremes from Motown, a nurse who as a humorist helps people to heal, an inspiring laughter yoga instructor, a mother dealing with the loss of a child, an incredible motivational speaker, a woman who married 5 times, a gifted paranormal nurse, a wise economist, a funny female humorist, along with an older man sharing his sweet childhood in the Deep South. January's guests are all amazing and amusing. You will never forget meeting them. Go to Amazon.com for your own priceless experience.
Welcome back with our own priceless personality today, Dr. Tracy Kremble. You know, Tracy, one of my daughters is a therapist, and I'm definitely going to get your book for her. Let's talk about what CPTSD is. And how does that differ from the PTSD that we're all familiar with?
It's one of the big misdiagnoses that many people coming out of with narcissistic abuse trauma face. And what it is that, and it happened to me, I was in recovery and I was diagnosed with PTSD, and I did the recovery for PTSD, but I didn't fully recover. And of course, I made some steps and changes. And it wasn't until CPTSD came onto the market with recovery, and I was treated for CPTSD, and then I became really passionate about making sure that recovery victims get this area. So when somebody is faced with PTSD, and I have a family friend who, for example, was at the Las Vegas shooting, and she has very bad PTSD, and when she goes into her side effects of PTSD, the fear, the anxiety, the mind racing, et cetera, she's able to ground herself because she's able to say, okay, I'm feeling this way because I was shot at on this date at this time. I don't like Las Vegas because it reminds me of this trauma. And it's you're able to take that trauma and at least put some boundaries around it. Not what happened, but you're able to grieve within this box. Well, because narcissistic abuse has so many ghosts, i.e., for example, gaslighting, when somebody is trying to make you doubt your own truth, the mind manipulations that take place, the many, many violations of trust that take place, that if a narcissist were to come up to you and to say, well, exactly what did I do wrong? There's a really good chance that the victim of narcissism wouldn't be able to say, well, on this day, at this time, you did this, because you're bombed with so many aspects of it. For example, even love bombing, that when a narcissist love bombs you rather than loves you, this creates trauma. Well, if you have been love bombed 500 times in your relationship, you can't put it in a box and properly heal. And then you add to it that every time somebody goes through a trauma with a narcissist, our bodies, our minds by nature, blanket out. So you're not able to heal because you can't recall the trauma. And so CPTSD is about going in there and helping you take collectively the traumas that you've experienced and say, rather than say, okay, on this day, this and this and this was done to you, it instead allows you to say, I experienced something called gaslighting, where somebody constantly made me doubt my truth. And the side effect of me not doubting my truth is A, B, C, D, E. So we're able to take that which is out here and collectively bring it together. CPTSD stands for complex post-trauma stress disorder.
So what you're doing with your wonderful book is you're helping people give a name to what happened and then go on to the next step where they're trying to figure out how to heal. That's fascinating that people don't remember, because I always would think you would hold that trauma very close. But I guess if you don't want to face it, that's what happens, doesn't it?
Well, it's also, you know, it's covert abuse. So it's not like they come up and slap you in the face.
No.
They play with your mind. And I always say that, you know, we don't have physical bruises, but we do have a broken heart and a stabbed soul. And those are much more difficult to heal because the body is resilient and the body heals. Mm-hmm. But the emotional system requires a very special journey to the inner terrains to discover the individual traumas that everybody's been through.
I've never heard that term, stabbed soul. I think that's a wonderful description of what people go through. Now, you state that self-love is non-negotiable. And I agree with you. That's a very powerful statement. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Absolutely. So when I was in my recovery, mm-hmm. I learned a very important thing about narcissism and about myself, in that there's healthy narcissism, there's narcissistic characteristics, there's narcissistic personality disorder, there's antisocial personality disorder, sociopath, psychopath. Well, what nobody was ever talking about is as this is a spectrum disorder, what's on the other side of the spectrum? And mm-hmm. what research unfolded is that at the opposite end of narcissism over here is a condition called self-love deficiency disorder. Now, the only way that a narcissistic relationship can remain standing is a narcissist plus a narcissist,
mm-hmm.
or a narcissist with a self-deprecate. And then they become part of the same, different sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. So all self-deprecates are what I like to call wounded empaths. They're amazing, mm-hmm. beautiful people that have experienced trauma and want to rescue the world, and they're feelers instead of thinkers, and et cetera, et cetera. So long story short, along my journey, I had a very clear thought, and I said, what if I stop focusing on narcissism? Like, what is it, and how is it, and how do I change them, and how do I control it, and all those things? And I instead made the choice to focus on my self-love deficiency disorder. What would happen? And so that's what I did. I simply began, I would look at, okay, if this person is gaslighting me, why do I release my truth? Why do I continue to listen? Rather mm-hmm. than saying, this person needs to stop gaslighting me, I instead took my power back and said, wait a minute, I can't control them from gaslighting, but I can control myself from giving away my truth, from engaging in a conversation when I feel myself deteriorating or doubting myself, from walking away, from not responding. So I began this amazing, amazing journey where I just began focusing on my self-love. And my entire program now is built on the journey from narcissistic abuse to self-love. And I got a beautiful download one day in my prayer meditation time where I saw a boardwalk. And
Oh, I'm so sorry, sweetie, but we're almost at the end.
Okay.
So, you know what? This means I'm going to have to invite you back. Thank you for coming and visiting with us. We've learned so much from you. Next Tuesday, we're going to learn more from my guest, Karen Pudetti. She wrote a book called Rags to Riches, the Beauty Icons and How They Made It. So she'll be sharing that with us. My 80-year-old thought for the day is that when you are age 30, you worry about what other people think about you. When you are 50, you don't care what they think. And then guess what? When you're 80, you discover that nobody's even thinking about you anymore. So there you go. I'm signing off as the Glitter Granny, and thank you so much for coming into our No Wine Zone. Remember to keep smiling and definitely stop whining. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Thank you for coming to our show today, and goodbye. Tracy, so nice to have you with us.
We want to to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.